Good morning. Today we're finishing our series called Faith Killers that you just saw. And for the last 2 weeks, we've looked at two kinds of faith killers, doubt and distraction. And if you missed any of those messages, those are online, mypantano.church, and you can watch those there. Today, I want to talk about a faith killer that we actually seldom talk about. I don't even think we were aware of it sometimes. It's a mindset, a deficit mindset that we apply to our faith, but that deficit mindset is that we're always looking at what we lack, that scarcity that's in our life. And the reality is that we live in a world of not enough. Have you ever run out of gas? I can remember twice I've run out of gas. Maybe there were other times. Once was when I was on my boat. I had an old boat, 30-plus years old, and the gas gauge was faulty, and I didn't know it. It said I had an eighth of a tank. It was empty. I was with a couple friends, and I had two paddles, so I gave both of them the paddles. And I used a water ski as a paddle. It took us a long time in 100-degree heat to paddle to shore. The other time was when I was doing a college internship in Yuma, Arizona. Yeah. I loaned my car to a guy named Jim. Jim, if you're watching, you know who you are. I assume that when you loan your car to somebody that they'll put gas in it. Especially when you're a broke college student, right? And so when I got my car back, I'm driving. I didn't even think to look at the gas gauge, and I'm running on fumes, run out of gas. And this time it's not 100-degree temperature, it's 110, you know, in Yuma, Arizona. And it is just frustrating. You're like, really? Come on. Our faith, I think, at times is like those gas tanks in our cars. Sometimes we just run out of gas. Sometimes it seems like we're running on fumes. And you know, what that means is that there are just those times that we struggle. We doubt. We wonder if our faith is enough to deal with the situations that we're in. We believe in God, but we're just not fully convinced that he's going to come through for us when we need him the most. And that belief that we put onto God comes not so much because of who God is, but because of our experience in life. And we just sort of get used to the fact that there's not enough. And so we struggle with doubting our own faith. Is our faith enough? We struggle with doubting, is God enough for us? And what we do is we allow this experience in our physical world to shape that. The fact is, we live in a world, I mean, it's just the reality of our lives that we're always running out of gas. And I don't mean just in our cars. I'm talking about personally. We personally run out of gas. It seems like in any given day, there's not enough time, not enough energy, not enough patience, not enough money. You know, it seems like the bank account runs out of gas far too fast, far too often. And then what's actually even ironic about that is sometimes when we have enough money in the bank, it feels like there's not enough, you know, and like it's going to run out too quickly. And then there's this whole piece about feeling like we don't have enough understanding, acceptance, appreciation, love from other people. Seems like that's always short as well. And that's just our normal, everyday experience. That's life this side of heaven. That's just the way it is until we experience eternity with God. And so what I'm suggesting is that reality, then we allow to affect how we view faith, how we view God, how we approach our relationship with God, and that this deficit or not enough mindset easily influences our faith in everyday ways. We just wonder if God is enough in this world that's not enough. And I don't even think that we're conscious that we sometimes even think this way. It's there, but we're not even aware that it's there. I think most of us here believe in God. We're sincere in that. And we sincerely believe that God is good. We sincerely believe that he has control of all the good in the world. In fact, we have a saying around here that I hear people say often. And we say, God is good. And people will finish it by saying, all the time. We believe that. And yet, when the situations get really difficult, when we feel like we're lacking this, that, the other thing, we begin to wonder if God is enough in that situation. Is he really not only good, but is he going to share that good with me? And do I have enough faith that he's going to do that? And so here's the irony of faith and the mystery of faith. And there's always an element of mystery to faith. And here it is. We can be short of cash. We can be short of time. We can be short of energy. We can lack human appreciation and affection and still be full. We can lack all these things in our world, but we can still be full. And Jesus speaks absolutely clearly and directly about this. Take your Bibles or turn on your device to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. It's on page 733 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you. And if you need a Bible, please take that Bible. We'd love for you to have it. Those of you who are with us online, we've got the app there for you to follow along as well. John chapter 10, starting at verse 10. Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." The thief that he's talking about is the evil one, the devil. And think about it. That's exactly, he has just summarized so clearly the reality. Remember when we go back to the very first book of the Bible, the very early chapters, when the creation of the world is described, God, on each of the days, day one, day two, all the way through day six, he created all these things. And what did he say after he created each thing? It was good, including human beings. Created all of this incredibly good. But then sin entered our world. And it's sin through the evil one, through the devil, that wants to steal and rob and destroy all the good that God created and created for us. And it shows up in so many ways. He wants to steal and rob us of the spiritual gifts that God gave us, things like his love and his grace and hope and faith. And it affects us in areas that are physical. We've talked about those already. It affects us in relationships. It was the sin that entered the world that began to damage us and each other. And now we look for and long for healthy relationships, the good of that. The evil one is all about taking away the good that God intended for us. And then look what Jesus says as he continues in John 10:10. "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I have come that we might have not just life, but have it to the full. And so what Jesus is promising here, there's an antidote to the scarcity that we experience in our lives here, that we can have a full life in the midst of all the deficits that are a part of our experience. The question is, do we really believe Jesus? That he really can provide for us a full life in the midst of this evil one who wants to keep stealing all the goodness and the fullness that God wants from our lives. Do we really believe that that's possible? What does that kind of faith look like? And before we talk about that, what that kind of faith looks like, we're going to get to that. Let's be clear on what that full life looks like. What are we talking about here when we talk about a full life? A full life is way more than having enough money, time, energy. A full life is way more than just being having a healthy life, physically healthy. A full life is way more than having human acceptance and approval. See, a full life is built on a deep trust that God will supply what we really need inside of us to deal with all the deficits that are a part of the life that we experience this side of eternity. It's this kind of faith that says when we're with God and when God is with us, we're never really going to lack the resources that'll help us live well in this life. See, the gifts that God gives us inside of us are so incredible, so powerful, that they actually can fill us in a world that lacks so much. And here's what God wants to fill us with. He wants to fill us with His forgiveness. Because we constantly sin. We constantly do things that are wrong. He wants us to experience His incredible grace. And He wants to fill us with His love because He's wild about us. He wants to fill us with a freedom from fear. And that's possible because He's promised us we'll have life that never ends. And if we have life that never ends, then we don't have to be afraid of death. And He's promised that He will be with us always. He will never abandon us. So we don't have to be afraid of this life that we live in right now. He's promised us that He'll fill us with His guidance and His wisdom to help us manage the challenges of this life. And I'm just beginning to scratch the surface of all the things that God wants to fill us with that help us live this life well and truly fill us. Now, all of us, and myself included, are times when we miss that, when we let what we lack and the scarcity affect us. But then there have been those times in my life when I've experienced that fullness, the fullness in the midst of those situations where people or circumstances tried to empty me, basically, where the people or the circumstances tried to rob me of security or significance or my well-being. Even when my external world seemed empty, I was able to experience a fullness. And the reason is because in those moments when I experienced that fullness, even though everything around me was so different, it was because I was this keenly aware that Jesus is for me. Even if others aren't, He's for me. That He is with me. And not only is He with me, He's in me, and His love is in me. And when we really grab onto that, then that's what faith really is all about. Then we can be actually filled, even though everything around us is so lacking and so even at times against us. See, faith is the awareness and the belief, it's both, that God is wildly in love with me. He's for me. He wants me. He wants the best for me. And He's going to do everything He can if I'll allow Him to fill me to make that a reality. And that fullness can never be taken away, never runs out, and it never disappears. Now, our problem is how we define fullness. You see, the evil one pulls a trick on us. And by the way, that's what Jesus tells us. He says the evil one, the devil, is a deceiver. He uses schemes to trick us. And this is one of the great tricks of the evil one. What he does is he gets us to redefine what fullness is. And the trick, and he does this through our culture, he does it in lots of ways, is that we're taught to believe that being full is having enough money, having enough time, having enough energy, having enough human love and acceptance, being healthy enough, all of those things, that if we have all those things, we're going to be full. And then here's what the evil one does. He tricks us into believing that, and then he takes it away. And when it goes away, what are we left with? We're discontent. We're dissatisfied because it's gone. And we've believed now that that's gone, that we're no longer full because we bought the lie of the evil one. You see, we're tempted to look outside of ourselves to fill our lives when what Jesus is saying is that we're only filled inside. The outside stuff isn't going to satisfy. We've got to look for what God offers us inside. That's what fills us. And so Jesus invites us to a faith that fills us. And here's my point today. We're invited to have faith in the God of more than enough. We're invited to have faith in our God of more than enough, who can supply what we really need to live well in this life. What God gives us is what actually provides real peace and contentment, regardless of what we have or don't have in this external world that we live in. Here's the fact. We're never going to have enough money. We're never going to have enough time. We're never going to have enough energy. We're never going to be consistently, perpetually healthy. We're never going to have people that always love us completely and fully and accept us just as we are. Now, there will be times we'll have those things, but they're not always going to be here. And the deal is that those things are not what fill us. They are temporary. Everything I've mentioned is temporary. They are overrated, and they can't fill us, at least not for very long. They might for a very short time, but it'll eventually fade away. See, the spiritual graces that God gives us, all those gifts that God gives us, those are the things that are able to satisfy and to fill us. Now, this isn't just theory. We see this lived out in people. I've experienced it at times, and the Apostle Paul was one of those people that lived this and experienced this. He really believed the promise of Jesus, that Jesus came to give us a full life. And we see him tell this story in an incredible place in Philippians chapter 4. I want you to turn there, Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. While you're turning there or turning on your device, let me give you the context of what we're going to read, because context is really important. You can take a scripture and read it out of context, and frankly, you can make it say whatever you want it to say. But in context, it has a very clear, specific meaning. In fact, there's a little rule that I like to use to help us correctly understand God's word, and it's this: read the text, but be sure you know the context. How about saying that with me? Read the text, but know the context. Because the context will help shape and frame the meaning of what's being said, not just the individual verse or verses itself. And so here, let me just give you the context for what we're going to read here. The context is the Apostle Paul is writing to a church that he had once started in a Greek city called Philippi. But that's not even the important part of the context. Here's the important part of the context. Paul's writing this letter while he's in jail. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. He doesn't know for sure what the future is going to hold. And in his experience in a Roman jail, he could have a whole bunch of things that he could tell you that he's lacking. He's lacking comfort. He's lacking freedom. He's short on money. He doesn't have any security or safety at all. You could look at that situation and go, man, you're in need in every way. Now, what we're going to read comes at the end of that letter. So Paul's already dealt with some issues that were going on in the church, and then he comes to this, and what he's doing at the very end is he's thanking them. Because they had sent somebody, Epaphroditus, to bring a cash gift to him, and he brought him that gift, and he's thanking them. He's genuinely thankful. But what's interesting and surprising is as he's thanking them, he also says this, "But I really didn't have a need." Now, I do not recommend you write a thank you note that way. Don't write a note saying, "Hey, thank you, but I really didn't need it." That's exactly what Paul does. And let's now take a look at that. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 11. He's already thanked them for the gift. In verse 11, he says, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." Wow. "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." Jump down to verse 19. "And my God will supply all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." Wow. Paul's reality, he's in jail. He's living in deficit. He's living in an environment that's nothing but that of scarcity, shortcoming. He's in jail, yet he's content. There's very little food in jail, and yet he's full. He's been beaten, but he's not defeated at all. He's just saying, I've learned to be content no matter what the situation. I'm in danger, but I'm secure in God. How's he able to do that? It's his faith. And not just faith as some abstract thing. It's his faith in a God who is a God of more than enough. His faith was that he knew God was not going to abandon him even if he's in jail. His faith was this confidence that God had a purpose in his suffering. He had faith in a God who would give him perspective to endure the most difficult of times. He found contentment, hope, strength in a God of more than enough, a God who he knew was wildly in love with him and had a purpose in all that he was going through. His relationship with God was more than what anything the world could ever give him or the world could take away. Do you hear that? His experience with God filled him so much that he was filled with things the world could never give anyway, or even if they took them away, wouldn't have distracted or deteriorated that fullness in any way. That's how much God filled him. You see, Paul was filled with God, and that's what we need to be filled with. And that allows us to live in this world where we can lack so many other things. See, we're invited to have a faith in the God of more than enough. I want to reread verse 19 of Philippians 4. "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Paul's saying, God has met all my needs, and God will meet all of your needs. Now, remember the context. The context is that Paul is in jail and he's lacking all these other things. And so what Paul's reminding us is that God's promise is not that he's going to make us wealthy and healthy. This is not a verse that we use to say, if I just claim it and name it, I got it. It's not what this is. That's not the context of this. You see, Paul isn't saying that God is going to eliminate all of our physical difficulties. He's in the midst of all kinds of physical difficulties. He's in jail. He had very little. We know from other writings that he was physically cold. We know that he was dealing with health issues, with infirmities. He had bad eyesight. He was eventually killed for his faith. So Paul's not pretending that there aren't difficulties in his life, and those didn't all just go away in his life. But rather, he knows that God will supply his every spiritual need. Those needs are greater than any physical need he'll ever experience. And it was all these gifts from God himself, that allowed him to endure the hardship, to maneuver through all of the challenges, to overcome the physical deficits that he was facing. And he could say that I've learned the secret of being content, because God is more than enough. This is the kind of faith that we're invited to experience. This is the kind of faith that opens up a full life, no matter what we're lacking. It's the kind of faith that helps us experience the God of enough, that he is for you. He is with you. He is in you. He's in love with you. This is the kind of faith that helps us seek his wisdom that will guide us through the challenges that we face in this life. This is the kind of faith that helps you see that God is active in our everyday circumstances. Oftentimes we miss what he's doing, and we miss the miracles that he's doing constantly in our lives when we keep focusing on what we lack and what we're short on. This is the kind of faith that helps you know that you truly matter to the one who ultimately matters. And that kind of faith is what fills us. Now, on the contrary, there's another kind of faith. It's based on deficit thinking. It's a mindset that believes in God. So there's an element of faith there. But it's a limited faith. It's a faith that puts limits on God. It makes God way smaller than he really is. It's a kind of faith that assumes because God isn't as big as he really is, it means I realize I got to take care of this stuff myself, because I don't know that I can count on him. And so then we shoulder all the responsibility, or the bulk of the responsibility. It's a kind of faith that doesn't really believe that God is enough. And then there's always a result of that kind of faith. That limited faith. See, that limited faith, it ends up feeding our discontentment. It feeds our discontentment when we focus on what we lack. When we focus on what we're short on, it only will bring dissatisfaction, not contentment. A faith that's shaped by scarcity keeps you always looking, and coming up short, because we're looking in the wrong place. The faith that we're invited into looks to God, the only one who can really fill us. Maybe you're struggling right now. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're doubting that you'll ever find a mate. Maybe your marriage is breaking up, or maybe you've recently gone through a divorce. Maybe you're facing enormous health challenges. Can't even get answers, medical answers, to what's wrong, let alone treatment. Maybe you've been fired. Or maybe your company's downsized and you're having to look. And maybe your health or your job situation or any number of other things have put you in a financial hole. You don't see any way out. What a mess. Maybe you've been betrayed. That is so painful. Maybe Maybe your kids are making bad choices. You feel empty. You feel depleted, alone, out of gas, running on fumes. You have a choice. You can focus on all that you lack or all that you've lost. Or you can choose faith. And when we choose faith, it doesn't mean we pretend all those things aren't real. What happens when we choose faith is we choose to believe that there's someone who can fill us, even though all these things are just sucking the life out of us. We choose to let God fill us. It's a faith that seeks God to fill the emptiness. Because God is more than enough. We're invited to have faith in the God of more than enough. This message that our God is a God of more than enough is overwhelmingly prominent in our Bible. If you've read through your Bible, you'll see it. You'll see this idea coming up over and over and over again because God knew we needed to be reminded of this. Because everything in our world is so short of supply, we needed to be reminded of this. And I want to read to you a few of the many verses that we could read from our Bible. And as I read them, I don't want you to try to look them up. We've got the verses available on my message notes online. Our message notes are always online, and they're also printed on a sheet, on a one-page sheet that's available out at guest services. So you'll have the ability to look these up and read them on your own and put them into context, okay? But I want you to hear the overwhelming message that God has for us. Remember, these promises aren't about having enough money, time, energy, human approval, physical health. That's not what these are about. These are about how God fills our lives. And as I read these, let God speak to you. Maybe you need to hear one of these statements that God is making. Maybe he's making them to you personally. Listen. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Give, and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Out of his fullness, we have received grace in place of grace already given. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. You see, you can have faith in the God of more than enough. Let God fill you. He can so fill your emptiness. if you'll choose that. That's what faith is all about. I want to pray for us. But before I do that, let me just remind you that after every one of our services, we have folks that are available to pray with you, because maybe you just need someone to pray with you right now. Maybe you don't even know how to pray for yourself. Let them pray with you and for you. And maybe you're not sure, how do I take that next step to engage that kind of faith we've been talking about? I want to encourage you, whenever you're ready, just go on over to Starting Point, and we'll help you take that next step. Let's pray. Father God, we believe, and just like that father said, it's recorded in Scripture, help us in our unbelief. Help us, God, when we struggle to really trust that you can fill us. God, help us not be distracted from who you really are, and draw us to you, that we would experience that you are more than enough, that your love is greater than anything we lack in this world, that your guidance, your presence is more than filling. God, we want to experience that. And so draw us to you, that we might be filled, that we might know that you are the God of more than enough. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, that's it today. You're dismissed.